5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
I can't see you and I quarantining. You'll end up eating me.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Finally a leg or an arm.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Ah, look at the day. We're in spring. It's September. We're normally getting ready for finals. They're a month away, but doesn't matter because outside, Clarendon Street style, absolutely superb. A big show coming up, of course. Different style show, of course. One that you can access. How do people access it, Rabbits Bartholomew?
On the Triple M app and all your favourite podcast downloaders.
Beautiful. Mm. And Tommy Hawkins going to join us shortly. What about the season? The Hawks
Tommy.
He is absolutely flying. Idiot file as well. And then I'm just going to see if Bill can continue a really poor week of jokes because they have been shocking. As I say hello to the self-same man.
Hello, Jimmy boy. Great to be with you. And spring has sprung.
Hasn't it?
Hello, reps.
Yeah, definitely. I think on the week, Adelaide have come out and said it's going to be a low-scoring game. So they're pretty straight to the word. They don't talk a lot of smoke and shadows behind the window.
Oh, Rabs. Come on, Rabs. Poor old Trav.
Oh, Cloaky. Smoke and shadows behind the windows.
We got an all-sports update today, Jim. It's all to do with...
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Jim, our listeners do like hearing about other sports other than golf, football and cricket, you flog.
It's Billy's All Sports Report.
And it's all about footy today, Jim. Did you see the game last night, Richmond v Fremantle?
I did.
Well, it was a terrible game. Wasn't a great game. And at three-quarter time, Frio were only a goal down.
Yeah, they were.
And I tell you, wasn't happy. Dimmer, the coach, was not happy, Jan. And Mark Ricciuto was reporting for Fox Footy on the boundary. Mm. And have a listen to what Rue had to say about Dimmer.
Guys, I was 15 metres away from Damien Hardwick. That was the loudest spray I've seen this year. His blood pressure was through the roof. He was asking for Richmond-style football. He went back and forward and back and forward across the front of the group. And it's given him an almighty talking to.
Oh, so he was fired up, Jim. And then after the game, I caught up with Dimmer, luckily enough. And I said, gee, Dimmer, you weren't happy. And he said, Bill.
Damien, you were cutting a pretty frustrated figure in the box there for the first three quarters.
Did you see the game? Yeah, it was a frustrating game. And, you know, we played four games in 16 days. And I thought our boys looked a little jaded, to be fair. And we sort of asked for a little bit of a lift at three-quarter time and they responded.
He wasn't happy, Jim. It was a terrible game.
They jumped out of the blocks pretty nicely, the Tigres, and then the middle part of that game it was hard to enjoy. Yeah. But a lot of it is fat. There's smaller, shorter quarters and a lot of fatigue, as he said, lots of games on end. And I think he might be right. You're just managing your way through a bit at the moment, especially if you're the Tigers. They're going to be there at the sharp end of things.
Well, up the other end, Jim, down the bottom of the ladder, there's going to be some teams that are just going to put the queue in the rack now, you would have thought, wouldn't you?
Well, not only queue in the rack, fat, but I just think mentally, especially a couple of the lower teams from Melbourne, North Melbourne, one of them, Hawthorn, another one. You know, when you've been forced to hub for, 12 weeks or whatever it is, I don't know how long they've been away for, and you can't get a kick in a stampede and you're getting thrashed every week, mentally it's got to be very, very tough to get up and try and, you know, make something at the back end of the season. So I reckon we're going to see in this last month some teams getting sadly, some awful thumpings.
Yes, indeed. I tell you, now I've had to listen to a few other premiers and chairmen around Australia, Jim, because Queensland got the grand final, of course. October 24, Cox Plate Day, frothy, 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 and then into the grand final, frothy, frothy,
that'll be
frothy.
Bill's favourite ever day.
Exactly. It'd be like those
especially the cats
the
are
North
it.
Melbourne supporters.
Yes.
Kanga, kanga, kanga.
No, nothing like that, idiot.
No, probably not. Peter Verlandis, who's the NRL boss, Jim, he has blasted the AFL and claimed the code will never trump rugby league. As he says here in the Daily Telegraph, they can huff, they can puff, but they will never blow the house down because it's solid brick. Our rugby league supporters are strong, to say the least. All the huffing and puffing they are doing is not a concern.
Well, he must now, just be talking about the impact in Brisbane and Sydney, surely.
Because Queensland.
Yeah, exactly. They've got virtually no footprint anywhere else. They've got one team here that do very well, by the way, but outside of that, nothing in Adelaide, nothing in Perth, so nothing in Tassie. So what the AFL are trying to do is become a national game, and what rugby league, by the sound of that, are pretty happy to be is a two-state game.
Well, but also, mate, we're not trying to have a divide here. It's happening. It's a once-off, and we all move on. And see, we embrace Melbourne Storm down here. I reckon they do it pretty well.
I agree.
So, and the other thing is, Jim, I've been the WA Premier. What's his name? Mark McGowan. Theodicum. Well, guess what he's come out and said? He hasn't said a lot because his state didn't get it, didn't even get into second place. No. But he said, the AFL comes third, whatever that means. I probably should have looked into it a bit more.
You probably should have.
The AFL comes third. But he's been playing hardball, Jim, and you know what? He's played it too well because the AFL has said, stuff you.
Oh, I don't know where Mark's coming from. I don't know him at all. But I know how the AFL work, Fat.
Yep.
And if you try and publicly humiliate them, they've got long memories. Mm-hmm. And at some stage in the future, and it mightn't be next year and it mightn't be the year after, but at some stage in the future, the WA government will ask the AFL for a favour. Mm. Whatever it is, look, we'd really appreciate it if you helped us with this. And at that stage, Gill will turn around and go, jam it in your clacker. Oh, Bill, I'm telling you how they work. They do.
Is that
not
how he
forget.
Says it?
I don't reckon he'll say it quite like that.
Oh,
he'll say it a little more eloquently. But I just don't understand, because they've built a billion-dollar stadium, Bill.
Yeah, they have.
And if the AFL don't schedule games at that billion-dollar stadium, it's a billion-dollar white elephant. So I would have thought that stadium needs AFL footy.
Oh, WA will play there. And Claremont will play Western United.
And they'll have four games of cricket that'll drag anyone there over the summer. So I think AFL, the brand and the product, is pretty important to WA. So if I'm Mark, I'm putting my guns down.
Exactly. Stop playing the tough guy. And the other one is South Australia, Jim. Zero active cases today.
Yes.
Zero.
How good.
So they're going all right. They're just anything could happen up in Queensland. So stand by there.
What else?
That's all the footy I've got. Also, I wanted to tell you about Maddie Brown, one of our favourites. She went across to Collingwood, but when she was with the Vixens, one of our favourite, Jim, she will retire at the end of the year.
Been a star.
Dad played footy for the Cats, and she has been a star. 61 games for the Diamonds, played 175 national games, two-time Liz Ellis Diamond, and International Player of the Year. So good on you, Maddie Brown.
Well done to Maddie Brown. Now, is that the end of the wrap?
Probably, yeah.
All right, well, I'll tell you what I've got here is a little bit of audio that we need to play because just hit it for me, Rabs.
G'day, Dave. Billy Brownless here, mate, wishing you a happy Father's Day. Hope you have a good day, good night, and plenty of frothies for old Davo on Father's Day. Hey, good to hear. You listen to the Rush Hour. You listen on YouTube. That is fantastic, mate. All the best to you. Have a very good, happy Father's Day from me, Billy, and also Haley, and also Eden. So good on you, mate. Go Cats.
All right. So that's Bill
very
doing one
cameo.
Of his paid appearances where he sends that through and receives a clip for wishing
cameo,
people a happy... what's it called?
It's called Cameo, and it's a lot... I'm doing a few this weekend for Father's Day, yes.
All right, and so we've got a caller on the line here. Who have we got here?
We've got Harley.
Now, I'm just going to read the little bit of correspondence that got sent through to me. Jim, this is from Harley. Jim, he's also calling me the King of Kings. And but he says, I bloody paid $100 for old Fat to do a cameo for me dad for Father's Day, and he calls me Haley, not Harley. What a flog. Bill, you couldn't even get Harley's name right.
Well, he spelled it incorrectly. I think it came through as Haley.
Well, let's have a listen.
And also Haley.
Oh! So, Bill, Harley's on the line now. What have you got to say to him? He wants his 100 back.
Sorry, Haley, but stiff shit.
He did it again.
Harley, how disappointed were you to part with your hard-earned and to get that sent back to you?
Well, the thing is, like, I paid for it that morning, and then in the late afternoon, I actually got the notification. I showed Mum. I was like, "Oh, Mum, watch." Yeah. We watched the whole video through, and it was really good. It was awesome.
Oh.
And then he said my name, and it just ruined it.
Harley's a girl's name, Bill, and Harley's a boy.
Well, speaking to Harley, I'm not far wrong.
To repair the damage to Harley?
Harley, it wasn't for you, mate. It's for your dad. Harley.
It's also from, he did it again. Yeah. Haley again.
His name's Harley, Bill. What are you going to do to repair the damage to Harley's brand?
I don't know what I can do. What can I do?
You can hand his 100 back. Give him his 100 back.
Well, you just don't get 100, Jim. It goes through all the tax purposes and things like that and goes into the bank account.
What about another cameo for Dave?
All right, come on.
Oh, actually, definitely.
Let's give Dave an audio cameo here, a live one, where you get Dave right, obviously, but you also get Harley right. In the message for Father's Day, Harles, we'll send this out to you on email. Here goes Fat with a proper recognition.
G'day, Dave. Billy Brownless here. You probably would know that former superstar of the Geelong Footy Club. You're barrack for the Cats, so good on you. Just wishing you a happy Father's Day, mate. Hope you have a big, big day and a big, big night and plenty of frothies for you, Dave-o. Oh, beautiful. Get amongst it. And this is from your kids. Eden and Haley.
Oh no.
Fat.
Bill, he also goes for the Tigers.
Oh no.
He goes for the Tigers and you got the name wrong again. All right, I'll tell you what we're doing.
What's his name? Harley Davison.
I'll tell you what we're doing for you, Harley. We're going to send you a personalised label from St Andrew's Beach Brewery, a Father's Day dozen.
Love it.
Yes.
And they are superb, by the way. Yeah, the boutique brewer that down on the peninsula.
Yeah, oh, good, Jim. That might shut him up. Oh! He's bloody whinging.
Happy Father's Day to Dave. Have a great day on the weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Harley.
All right. Bill. Oh, must give better tributes, Bill.
Well, mate, I did 9 last night. I was just whipping through them again.
Paid on false pretenses. All right, we need to get to a break.
Have been for 30 years.
We got the great Tommy Hawkins to join us next on The Rush Hour.
It's The Rush Hour, JB and Bill on Triple M.
Here he goes, Hawkins. 50 out on a 45. It'll take a great kick. He's in good touch.
Oh, wow.
Hawkins has got 6! And a huge night for Tommy Hawkins straight through the middle.
Oh, not quite going well enough, this man, Fat. He's on top of the Coleman ladder. His mob are dominating the competition. Good-looking man. Got his family up in the hub now. He's ticking every single box, Tommy Hawkins, and he joins us now. Great friend of the show, of course. Welcome, Hawk.
JB, Bill, thank you. Very, very kind of you. Very kind words.
No, you are flying, Hawk. You look fit. You're sharp. You're talking to us while you're in the nude, so everything's just going beautifully.
No, well, you may be right about a few things, but I got my clothes on. I'm, as I said to you before, I'm just handing the children over to Mr. Selwood as I go out and get a bit of peace and quiet for 5 minutes.
Hey, Hawk, just talking about the Coleman Medal. Of course, you park nicely on top. But what I like, I'm going to read you some names out. You listen to this too, Fat.
Yep.
Hawkins, Kennedy, Dixon, Lynch, Tabiner, Darling. That's the top 6. And what I like about that, Bill, is they're big bastards.
That's right,
because for a while there you had bloody Butler and Papley and these tiny little nipsies just lurking around. And we haven't got a proper comp, Hawk, when we've got tiny little bastards leading the Coleman.
Well, I think you may be right there, Jim. It's I've always said, I reckon the first few rounds of the season are bloody hard work as a key forward, I reckon, because, you know, there's a lot of everyone's fit and everyone's working hard in both attack and the defence, and a lot of players get back in the space of the big guys, and you see a lot of half forwards that kick goals and are really influential early on in the season. So, and as the game gets a bit of fatigue into the mid part of the season and later in the year, I think you tend to see the bigger guys be a bit more dominant. So, look, it's hats off to, you know, those two guys in particular that you mentioned, Papley and Butler, who've had unbelievable seasons. You know, I mean, I'm fortunate that I get the ball kicked to me a lot during a game, so I've got the opportunity to hit the scoreboard and be involved in scoring chains a lot more than probably what they do. So, yeah, those two in particular playing great footy. But you're right, it's nice to see some big guys up the front.
Yes, it is indeed. Well done to you. Been great and should win the Coleman. His first Coleman too, Jim, by the way. Right. Hey, Hawk, were you happy with the announcement yesterday that the grand final will be at the Yabba Gabba Doo?
Yeah, oh, I love it, Bill. I think Queensland have really come to the party and helped us the AFL code in its journey to get the 2020 season underway, and certainly it looks like we're going to finish it now. So I think they've got every right to be able to host it. I think the ground and stadium is probably not maybe as well equipped as say Adelaide Oval, or certainly the Perth Stadium. The new Perth Stadium is unbelievable, which would have been great. But I think it's a great thing, great investment for the code as well. Moving forward, it's really surprised me in our time up here how many people actually acknowledge football, and maybe it's been well documented that we're up here, but there's a lot more people that seem to take interest and just in generally take note of us as a team.
Hey, Hawk, I know this sounds I'm trying to be polite in the way I say it. It sounds like it might be a stupid thing to say, but this final series being in Brisbane may well suit the Cats, because going from Geelong to the MCG has been hard in the last couple of years, but now you're going to be playing in familiar surroundings and surroundings you've played very good home and away footy in.
Yeah, you're right, JB. I think not that we don't play our best footy at the G. It's probably we've come up against some sides that that play the ground really well and have a lot of experience. I mean, probably gone are the days where, well, certainly for Geelong now, we look to play 8 or 9 home games down at Cadinia Park at GMHBA Stadium. So we've play less games at the G, so we're probably not as familiar as we once were with the surroundings. But it probably does. The ground suits it. It's a short way home from the middle. You know, we've had the opportunity to play there a couple of times in the last month and a half, and we've played some pretty good footy there. So and the other great thing is they usually play in pretty good condition. So the game's dry. There's usually no wind. I certainly like that as a forward. Although occasionally you can get those tropical storms that come down, and gee, they pour. But look, yeah, it probably does. Probably does play into our hands a little bit. But I don't know. I suppose we sort of trying to build the belief. I think we've gone beyond that now, that we can play our best footy anywhere, anytime. So the announcement of where it's played wouldn't have fazed us, and I say that honestly as well. I don't think it would have mattered. We'd be happy to go over and play in Perth. We play that game ground okay. But yeah, I suppose it's home for us now up in Queensland. So it's nice for if we get the opportunity to eventually get there. Nice to have it on our doorstep. It's a bit like actually travelling down to Geelong, the trip down to the Gabba from Southport where we're based. So I feel very familiar.
Except for the weather and the and people walking around in bikinis.
Yes.
At the bars, the kebab joints, and the
fattest thing at the mouth.
But very good looking man. You're in very good shape, but you look good. The blue eyes, I love them. But let me tell you, the coach, Chris Scott, Brown, he's bronzed, he is trim beard, he is looking magnificent, and I think he is nearly coaching the best he's ever coached, Hawk.
Yeah, I think, I certainly think. And I'm not going out of school here, but he's in career best. Nick, he's he's spending a lot of time in the gym and a lot of time up on our rooftop sunning himself. So he is looking good. The beard, I remember having a conversation with him in the first lockdown period back home, and he grew the beard out, and he didn't think that that was something that was going to stick around. But doesn't he look good in the coach's box?
And he's home, of course, spent half his bloody life in Brisbane, so he's happy being in Queensland. Hey, speaking of home, Hawke, of course, a magnificent property in Ceres just out of Geelong, and made the grave error of getting my second son, Henry, to look after it for about 5 minutes, has now given him the arse. And Hawke, so you bloody should. I was terrified because it was only a matter of time before he stuffed something up, and then you're on the phone to me saying, Jim, get your kid off my joint. He's ruined my tractor. So you've done the right thing.
No, he's been a godsend, and I said that to him because we sort of packed our stuff up pretty quickly. Who'd we play in Geelong? Maybe, I think we played the Suns like on a Saturday night, and then we got told after the game. Actually, it was the Hawks. We played the Hawks on a Saturday night, and then we got told after the game that we'll be packing our bags and going to Sydney, and we'll be away for 30 days. And I thought that was okay because the girls would be there, and I'd get Henry to come down because he lives down the road, and just feed the cattle and check up on things. And he ended up being out there for a while, so it was actually very handy, Jim. He was feeding the cattle and just checking up, jumping on the mower, looking after the place. So he did a great job, and I was very lucky. But my brother Charlie's lives in town, and he needed a spell from living with my sister Jane, so he's gone out and taking over the reins.
Well,
so,
that's a good thing, Hawke, because he seriously wouldn't know the mouth of a cow from its asshole.
Well, Jim, let's be honest. We're talking to Tomahawk. We're talking to Tomahawk here, who, old man, is a farmer, right? Yes, he's a farmer in
Jumping
Finley.
Jack.
Jumping Jack, of course, superstar at the Cats. But he is an actual farmer, whereas Hawke puts on the RM Williams, walks outside, has a look what the neighbours are doing, or they're bringing the cows in. We'll bring the cows in today. And is just a farmer. But worse still, Reece Stanley has bought a farm down the road. Reece Stanley would have no bloody idea, would he, Hawke?
Oh, this is great. Look, well, between us, maybe we're halfway there, but look, we've got a bit of help from some of our teammates every now and then. Oh, you wouldn't believe who's just walking up to me, Bill.
Who?
Fresh from the gym, Oscar Brownless.
Oh,
and,
there we go.
And shirts off.
Come on, Oscar.
Shirt is off. Hang on.
How's he looking?
He's thrown to his mother's side because he's in great nick, speaking of career best nick. Sorry, we got distracted. Yeah, but yeah, between Reece and I, we don't know much. But hey, we pretend we do, and I reckon that's half your battle as a farmer.
Hey, that's half your battle in life, Hawke, is pretending you know when you don't. Don't worry, Bill's been doing it for 50 years. Now tell us a bit about the Powercore Country Festival, Hawke.
Well, he's an ambassador.
Well, I am. I've done some work with you over the last couple of years, Bill. And we play the game every year against Essendon. And obviously this year is pretty unique in the circumstances we find ourselves in. But it's just sort of about celebrating the contribution of people in the regional and country areas and all the great things they do for our game. So we celebrate a lot of people in our code, but this is a round that's hits home a bit closer to me. So I've been involved. Yeah, so this is our fifth year of being involved in the Powercore Country Festival. It's good to do with Essendon because they've got strong ties to the land. So yeah, as I said, it's not going to be quite the same. We usually play at the G, and we have stalls outside of the ground where people can come and experience and participate in activities and all the great produce and things that come from, as I said, the regional and country areas. But that's still going to be online. You can find out more information at the Geelong Cats website, but it'll still go ahead, but albeit look a little bit different.
Yeah. Kevin Cheedy's been heavily involved with this. It's all about the regional and country and the small businesses, the SES, the fireys, farmers, the dairy farmers, the crop growing farmers who are doing it tough, especially with what's happened with COVID, but also the bushfires and things like that. So well done to Sheeds and well done to the Cats and well done to the Bombers, because there's a lot of people out there doing a tough gym on the land.
That's really you just pretty much repeating exactly what Hawk said.
Well, I said it a bit better.
You sound like you actually may even be from the country, Bill.
Well, just down the road, what about that? Tomahawk went to Finley. We hated Finley. Drewry down the road, 35 k's away. We hated Finley because the high school was at Finley Gym, so all the local towns, Berrigan, Drewry and Tokemall, all went to Finley. We all had a veranda. This is back in the good old days. You had a veranda each, and the Drewry veranda was the toughest, and we used to belt the crap out of Finley.
Shit, I reckon it was still the toughest when I was at school. There you go, Bill.
Did you have a veranda back then too when you went?
Yeah. We had, there were certainly segments of, I don't know, you wouldn't even call it a quadrangle, but the just outside the front of the, I think it was the library. I think that building was the library, but I'm not 100% sure. No, but
you wouldn't know.
Good times, Bill.
Hey, Hawk, the defensive groups of all footy clubs are weird. We know that.
Yes.
But I
have
a look at Geelong, and I think there's some special weirdness. Like, you've got Harry Taylor, who we love, but different. You've got Tommy Stewart, who's just wandered in from South Bowen, very different. Zach Tuohy, can't understand half the bloody words he says. Who else have you got back there?
Marco Connor.
Marco Connor.
Blitz is back there.
Anderson.
Do you ever wander down there and just wonder what the hell goes on in the heads of those people?
Look, I can honestly say I don't wander down there too much. Every now and then to chase a kick, but they are a unique group. They love running with the Misfits label. They've really embraced that, which is not often you see a defender group back themselves in and run them with it like they have. But good on them. They're a great bunch of guys. They do have a lot of fun. They're well drilled by their coach, Matty Scarlett, doing a bloody good job with them. So they're playing some good footy, and I reckon I don't often tell them too much, but I reckon they're one of the reasons why we're playing such good footy at the moment. Oh, they're defending well, attacking well, so whatever they're doing is working, and if they can keep doing it, we'll be in good shape.
Hey, Hawk, this is how I look at it, right? If you look at all the broadcasters, look at Fox doing AFL footy, look at Seven doing AFL footy, name me one backman who's a special comments person doing AFL footy.
Nah.
It's like, I'll tell you what it's like, and Ricky Ponting says it brilliantly. It's like bowlers are never cricket commentators. And he always says this. He says, you know why? Because they've got no f***ing idea about the game of cricket, so no one wants to hear from a bowler. Yeah. And it's the same with defenders. None of them end up being analyst talk.
Absolutely. I can't see any of our defenders or current defensive group commentating. The only thing I was thinking, Alistair Lynch swung back at stages of his career, but that's as close as you can get, I reckon.
Nope.
But I only ever remember him as a forward. But there you go.
We've taken up too much of your time. What have you got there, Fat?
No, but you're right, Jim, when you look at Jono Brown and Pav and Nick Riewoldt, Dunstall, Brereton, Wayne Carey, Brownless, you can go through them all. They're all big super fools. hey, Hawk, we'll let you go because I'm sure you want to see the kids and the lovely M too. But Gary Ablett, have you seen him? Have you spoken to him?
I've spoken to him a couple of times, not since he's been up here, but I think he's been very well documented, what's happened, and the struggles that him and Jordan have gone through. So they've had a pretty rough time the last 2 months. So it's nice for them to be able to come up here, and 14 days in quarantine will be tough enough, but it'll be great to see him because he's an important piece in the way that we play, but also great to have around the group for, the old guys to chat to, and also the young guys feed off Gaz. So it'll be nice to see both Gary and Jordan and Levi around the group again. So I'm sure he's really looking forward to rejoining us. I think he's 12 days away now.
Hey, Hawk, great chatting to you, mate. Yeah. I always say I'm a big Chris Scott fan, as you know, so if the Kangas can't win the flag, and sadly that is true this year, then I'm right behind the Cats. The only thing that annoys me about him's fat. Because he gets a huge, great big stiffy this time of year and starts annoying the piss out of us, Hawk. So outside of him, you're a very well-run club, good to watch, and I hope you go very, very deep into October.
Absolutely. Good on you, JB. Take care, mate. Bill, always a pleasure.
Well done, Hawk, and well done, Jim. Kangaroos can't win the grand final. No shit, Sherlock.
Again, he just repeats what I said, which is what he did the whole time with Hawk. Hey, great.
Good on you, Hawk.
Good luck, mate.
Good on you, boys.
James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless.
That's cock to me.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour, special podcast edition today as well.
An idiot file, of course, is something the Rush Hour family love almost more than anything else, and we can run sort of almost a couple a week. Mm. But Matty Hayward, our man in the booth, he was overworked. He was having to put too many invoices in. And so what we've done is we've said to Matty, all right, instead of two a week, let's do one a fortnight. And how long does this one go, Rabbits?
8 minutes.
8 minutes. 8 minutes.
No.
Oh, come on, Fat. Seriously, we must have better talent. Anyway, enjoy 8 minutes of the idiot file. And then a really crap joke to finish it off. That's how the show's going to sound. Hello to you, Willis.
Hey, g'day, Jim, and I'm going to do some tic-tacking with the girls too TikTok later on, even. So stand by.
Yeah, TikTok, yep. And what about in the NBA, please?
Well, the playoffs are on, and all I'm worried about is Joe Ingles. He's the only Aussie playing in the NBA playoffs.
Yes.
He had 18 points for Utah Jazz, 6 assists, 2 rebounds, and he hit 4 from the range, Jim. He is on fire.
Four from the range.
Yes, Jim.
What does that mean, Fat?
Well, he got 4 from downtown.
Right, okay. That's what that means.
Downtown, Jim. And he's been washing the sideboards or something.
Oh, no. What? Washing the sideboards.
Never heard that one.
We've had a 3 people email us or DM us during the weekend, Jim. One's from Ireland.
He just called me Jim.
Well, you actually,
get
it's not
that
a bad
for
name,
me, please. Rabbit's Bartholomew.
Also, what else have I got here? Sydney. Keep talking. Sydney is pushing to host the grand final, Jim.
But then she goes on and says, I was just listening to the quiz. Did Bill utter the following sentence? He's becoming to this sex single? Go Blues, says Ruth. All right, let's have a listen.
He's becoming to this sex single.
What is that?
Don't make up stuff or put in, make me sound bad.
Ruth has picked up on it. Let's listen to it again, Bartholomew.
He's become into this sex single, Jim. I tried to say he's becoming a sex symbol.
But you didn't say that. You said he's...
Which is hard to say,
he's
Jim.
He's becoming to this.
When you're on air on Radio Live, it's hard to say.
Is it?
He's starting to become a sex symbol. Shadow boxing because of the big fight tonight.
Yes.
All eyes are going to be on Townsville tonight,
Townsville.
Jim. Now, there's something I reckon I've never said before.
Never. Oh, the zoo kitty?
The big Aussie fight between the fighters. Do you know how tall they are? What?
The great fight between the two fighters.
You know how tall they both are?
Nope.
175 centimetres, Jim. They're as tall as Tom Papley.
That's Boomer Harvey.
Well, Boomer Harvey, yep. Tom Papley. And they weigh. One last one.
All right.
Just some cricket, Jim.
Yes.
Chris Rogers, the former opening batsman for Australia, is now the head coach of Victoria. So good on him.
There's almost an idiot file out of just this opener.
Plus, Jimmy Boy, the Western Bulldogs, Alice Killing Teeth, Keith, will join us, and my magnificent hump day quiz is back.
Did he say Alice?
Yeah, Alice.
Leave it if he did.
And also Brent Williams will play his first game. He's a ruckman. He can jump.
Ahead of Nine Sport.
Well, not that Brent Williams, but this is another Brent Williams down the other side, down the peninsula there, Jim, and can jump the boy. So good luck to him. And
down the other side. What are you talking about, Fat?
Well, the other side from here.
I think you might find that his name is Bailey Williams.
Yeah, his brother's Brent. That's right. Oh. Bailey Williams, Jim, you idiot. Not the same bloke
what
that works
are you
at
on about?
He asked the cabbie if he would be a witness because, Jimmy boy, he suspects his wife is having an affair.
Or even an affair.
Even an affair. Because your top five were silly.
No, it was Melton, magnificent.
They were in Peterborough, Melton, Donnybrook.
Oh, they were not.
Peterborough's over in England.
You're an idiot.
It's still far away.
Yeah, that's a long way away.
And I'm going to go the real top five, like over in Istanbul.
Istanbul.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
And a bit of cricket, Jim. The Aussies are over in England, of course, and Pat Cummins' 11 took on Andrew Finch's 11.
Yes.
Or even Aaron's.
Aaron Finch, even. Yes.
We've got an Aussie. His name is Caleb Ewan.
Caleb Ewan.
Who is a star, a sprinting star, and he won stage three with a magnificent late burst. Have a listen, Jim.
Sam Bennett qui va remporter sa première victoire sur le Tour de France, à moins que Caleb Ewan ne revienne dans le final. Caleb Ewan devant Sam Bennett.
C'est le vent de face, c'est qu'il a eu.
Jim, that was French.
Bill. No, no, thank you.
French.
That was French.
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 French. Before we go into honourable mentions, okay, and then we go into the furthest.
Yes.
All right, this is the honourable mentions, Jim, for the furthest away listener, okay?
Yep.
So, of someone from Greenland, someone from Finland, someone from Poland.
Yes.
Someone from Sweden. It would be good to catch the podcast. And the other one is, hang on.
Yeah, enough of that one.
Is number one.
Seamus Parr. He's from... he's from where is he from? County down in Ireland. Love your work, Bill. You're a legend. Rabsy laugh is brilliant. Jim is the best in the business.
Yes,
I lived in Melbourne for 7 years listening to the show, and I love it. And he is. His name is Jim. What was his name? They've got a footy ground there, which is 20 feet away from the Atlantic Ocean, and doing our best to win an AFL flag.
Atlantic. There's a T in there. Atlantic. Yep.
Atlantic Ocean. 20 feet away, Jim.
Hey, Dominic.
How are you?
We want Bill to have a crack at saying your surname. What's Dominic's surname, Fat?
Napolitan.
What? What? It's D, and then we want the next word said by you. Fat Dominic D.
D. Gulgely Limmel.
What is it, Dom?
It's Diggle Elmo.
Diggly Elmo, Fat.
Yeah.
Oh, tickle me elbow.
Yeah, pretty good.
Anyway, a bit of sound plum boomba. I also told you that the Olympics wouldn't happen this year. It was never going to happen, Jim. Once coronavirus come in, that was never going to happen. Bad luck, Tokyo. Probably be July next year, I'm thinking now, Jim, but bad luck, the old poor old Tokyoans.
Yes. Tony Owens.
Yep. Welcome back to Triple M. That is... I'm jumping on me.
Yes.
And Gil McLaughlin's arrived up there, the boss of the AFL, and I am the only one to talk to him. I am the only one that got a bit of exclusivity with Gil. I don't... Bevan on two, Jaden on one. In last week's Geelong Bulldogs game... what was the score at quarter time? Oh, Jay.
39-3.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
No, it wasn't.
What's the answer, Bev?
I'll go on 38-2, I guess.
No.
All right.
It was Western Bulldogs 6 goals, 3-33, Jim. 39.
Oh, yes.
Oh my God. Well,
but didn't Jaden say 39-3?
He did.
Buffett!
Jules!
Oh, no!
Well done, Jada. You got that one.
You are such a fool's head. Fat, you're in career worst. And I've said that so many times. Yeah, but
you've said that a bit.
But, Bill, you must listen to that. That's 8 minutes. And at the end of it, you must think, where am I at?
Well, Jim, I went for a piss. I missed it. But, was it any good?
Oh, my God. Oh, wind him up. Rabbits, come on.
Jabby and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour.
Oh, make sure you enjoy the footy tonight, of course. Sydney, Melbourne, Kazali Stadium. And then we have the Carlton GWS game, Metricon. you'll find they'll be beautifully handled. A very nice Friday and a very nice weekend. All of that's coming up for you, Fat Boy.
It is indeed Melbourne, Sydney from Kazali. Did you say that?
Yeah.
Well, John Harms is back, Jim. John Harms. Harms. Old Chompers Harms.
John
back.
Harms?
Who's John Harms?
Actually, he's the author of Loose Men Everywhere. Chompers Harms is back. James. And so is Fritch, which is an interesting one. Because
Warren Fritch?
Warren Fritch is back, Jim. So that is good.
Where's he at? Like, honestly.
I'm at the Cremorne.
I think the longer this year goes, the more horrendous his performance is.
Traditionally, we'd have 3 weeks left?
I know. And we crawl to the line.
It's September Brownless.
We crawl to the line as a rule. In fact, we are crawling to the line.
You know what I've set me in my diary, in my head, Jim? We've only got 3 weeks left. So that's all I'm going to.
Set me in my diary in my head.
Yep. So if we have to go longer, look out. We're in trouble.
Righto. Come on. So just end the day
with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Oh, it's been a good show.
No, it has been a great show, but your jokes have been poor. So what do you got?
He's a good man, Tom.
Very good man.
I went to see my dentist the other day, Jim.
Yep.
He had a look in my mouth and he said, "There's something wrong with your taste buds." I said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, those shoes are shit and that shirt is terrible."
What? Oh, no.
Something wrong with your taste buds.
Bill.
That's just, what is that? That's like some of them are stories without a punchline. That's not even a story. That's just completely wrong.
A punchline.
Yeah.
And what about the other day my girlfriend come home, Jim? She was covered in honey and stings. I knew she was a keeper.
I'm just going to hear that.
No. This is where he's
keeper,
at.
Jim.
This is where he's going. The wrong way. Wrong way, Brownless. That's like getting a centre clearance and kicking it 50 metres the wrong way.
Yeah. She's a keeper.
Don't let Fat out of the Cremorne.